Internet radio.
Let's see. I think I cut the starting song off, and I hope I did. I don't see it coming on. Good morning. I'm Tennessee Howard of House Team Production Gospel Internet Radio. I am a media person for National Association of Black Defenders out of Washington, D.C., with Dr. Michael McQuarrie, the CEO. And today we have a very powerful story and case to be talking about today. We're going to be talking about Lydia M. Barry, convicted of capital murder of a 2-year-old niece. And this is her story and information about what occurred and how it happened. And I'm hoping that we will be able to get Lydia to call in through one of the people that are on now, like a father or sister, or another representative that can allow her to talk live this morning. On behalf of all of us here at the National Association of Black Defenders, Dr. Michael McQuarrie, you have the mic first. If you can please open it up with the report.
Good morning, Radio Land. We're glad to have another day to come to you and to share another heartbreaking story of someone that has been accused of a crime that they didn't commit. Before we get into our story this morning, to our live broadcast, we're coming to you live from the National Association of Black Defenders out of Washington, D.C. I want to go ahead and offer a word of prayer before we begin. Amen. And then after we have a word of prayer, then we will just give a few comments on our story for the day, and then we'll go right into our main story with the family. Father God, we come to you this morning, Lord, thanking you for another day. Lord, we thank you for your grace, yes, your mercy, and Lord, we thank you for your truth. Father God, yes, we pray this morning that you will search our hearts, Lord Jesus. And yes, Lord, if you find anything that shouldn't be taken out of us, straighten up, yes, make us right for your kingdom. Father God, yes, we pray this morning, Lord, that you will identify with the truth in this case this morning, Father God. And, Lord, that Lydia will begin giving a second chance, not only in her court case, but in life, Lord Jesus. Father God, we pray right now, press in heaven right now, Lord. For, Lord, you said in your word that we should know the truth, and the truth shall set us free. Father yes, God, Lord, we believe in you, Lord, to bring out the truth in this situation. Lord, we're touching heaven right now, believe in you, God, for all things. Father God, we come right now, Lord, asking you, Lord, that the truth will come forth this morning. Father God, we pray right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, bless the National Association of Black Defenders. Lord, bless Brother Freddie Howard to continue to be a servant for you, Lord Jesus. Bless his family. Lord, go with us and take care of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. At this time, we're going to turn it over to Brother Howard, our commentator, and he's going to update us on the story of Lydia.
Your current balance is $22.01. This call is from a correction facility and is subject to monitoring and recording.
Thank you for using Global Tellink.
Good morning.
Good morning, Lydia.
Good morning. This Mr. Howard. I believe this is Ms. Barry on the line. Hello?
Yes. Hello, how you doing?
Good morning. Ms. Barry, your father's here, your sister's here, Dr. McQuarrie, CEO of National Association for Black Defenders. I'm Freddie Howard, media person for National Association of Black Defenders here on Blog Talk Radio. We welcome you this morning to the broadcast. You're being broadcasted live worldwide, and this can be copied and transferred all over the world by simply clicking on the link to the broadcast. And we have all of that for you. And you are free to begin speaking from wherever you want to, from your point of view in regarding your case and your conviction of murder of a 2-year-old niece. You have the mic, ma'am.
Thank you. Yes, when they sentenced me, they never investigating my case for the fact that Baja had was previously sick and in the hospital, and I never knew that they had her in and out of the drug houses. When I took Baja, I was just trying to help her mother out because she didn't know what she was going to do with Baja because she said that she had been molested by the babysitter. So at the time, I caused myself trying to help her out. But I think Marlena pretty much knows the rest of the details from the time I had her until I took her to Mississippi.
Okay. Is there anything else you would like to add before you, the person you wanted to hand it off to began to continue to talk about the story? I had an opportunity to read the estate side versus you. And the child, that, what would you say her name was?
Beja.
Daisy? Okay.
Beja.
You said Daisy?
No, Beja.
Oh, Deja. Okay, I'm sorry. All right. Okay. Okay. Go ahead, the one that Lydia handed off to speak about the case. You have the floor. Go ahead.
Okay. Lydia was trying to help out her brother's. Well, this was her niece, but her niece was, she looked white. She had blonde hair and blue eyes. And so they, instead of them investigating the case and finding out that Beja had been in and out of the drug houses, Beja had been sick prior to this, she was left in the custody of her 13-year-old sister at the time. And they never could find Beja half of the time. So her mom had no idea if even Beja was being fed or anything that was going on with the case. And instead of them investigating this case, they charged Lydia with the crime she didn't commit because the child was already sick and had done their investigation. They would have knew that the child was already sick before Lydia got her and tried to help her. Lydia didn't want to cause, she didn't cause any harm to this child whatsoever. But instead of them looking at the case from Kentucky because the child was born in Kentucky, the child was a sickly type child at the time, they didn't look to any of that. They just charged Lydia. They didn't look at the mother. They didn't look at the 13-year-old who had her every single day. They didn't look at, you know, the situation she was in. And, in fact, 3 days before this occurred, DFS was supposed to had already picked the children from the because they were caused with abuse at the time. And DFS in Kentucky never investigated and never took the children out of the home. Lydia would have never been in this situation had they would have done their job. So okay. That's about the roundabout story of this. Lydia called every single day trying to get this child help, but nobody was hurt. Like, when the child started getting sick, Lydia started calling the mother, trying to get the mother to come and get her because she didn't have medical release so that they could treat the child in Lydia's care. The mother would pass it off to everyone else. She would make excuses why she didn't want to come and get the child. And as a matter of fact, you know, Lydia and them kept begging her to come and get her. She was calling. They were calling every single day trying to get this child help. But had they, the mother would have took into consideration and went and got her child, this may not have ever happened. But instead of her doing that, she passed it off to somebody else. And then when Lydia got charged with the crime, they thought they were all free. So they were neglecting the home and everything else.
Okay. Let's go back to the injuries that the court said they found when at the time that they found Lydia at, found the baby at Lydia. I'll say baby, but at Lydia's limb trailer. How did she get those injuries that the court found when they found her dead at Lydia's home?
First off, before Lydia had even took the child, her brother had pushed her down a flight of steps on the trailer that they used to live in. So that could be part of the bruises, and half of the bruises that they found on her, even after they were talking about it in court, were way before Lydia got the child. Like the bruises were like, Lydia had the child for maybe 10 days. The bruises were about almost 3 weeks old. So
okay.
This child was already in abuse before Lydia got her.
All right. And y'all, go ahead.
Yes, and not only that, I only had Beja in my care for, what, less than a week?
Okay. And the burns, and when you got her from her mother, when you drove up, you and your husband drove up to get her, she was already, all these conditions were already there?
Yes.
Yes. Now,
You took no pictures. You made no documentation. You didn't report any of it. You just took the child.
Well, she was just trying to help the child because she was being.
No. I'm asking the question. You
okay.
took no. You made no documentation. You reported none of it. I know you were trying to help
now
your.
No, I.
Beg your pardon.
No, I did not make any documentation of it.
And the mother, and the real mother.
The real mother of the child.
Yeah, the real mother of the child, yeah.
The real mother of the child hadn't seen the child in 14 days before she brought her to our home. To take her from Lydia to babysit her. Lydia had already had two kids prior to that, 2 weeks before that, and she was bringing them back. So she really had no intentions of taking Beja. Lydia had Beja's sister for 2 weeks, and she also had my child for 2 weeks. There was no bruises on either child. She loved children. So Lydia would not have maliciously took this child and done any harm. She loved her niece.
Yeah, when I had brought Kiana and Javen back, that's when she had brought Beja over there because she was saying that she didn't know what to do with Beja and she didn't want to keep Kiana and Beja and Skylar all together because she was saying that the oldest boy, Skylar, had possibly touched Beja as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I want to probe one other thing in regards to Daisy's actual mother. Is there any documentation on Daisy's mother and her, whatever was taking place with her, what she was doing with her life? Is there anything at all documented by you all or the courts or any law in regards to the mother, because it appears that the child is in this condition as you go to, you and your husband go to get her and bring her back to Mississippi. There should have been something recorded somewhere on the aptitude and the what's taking place with the mother. You see what I'm getting at? Is any of that documented anywhere?
Well, DFS was supposed to take her out of the home, so abuse was reported in the home.
Okay, y'all got that report.
Yeah, that's at the Human Resource Office in Litchfield, Kentucky. And when we went to get the records for Lydia's court case, they shipped all those records to Frankfort because they didn't want to be liable.
They shipped them to where?
Frankfort, Kentucky, to the main division of children and child services.
Okay, were you able to get that information?
No, because they would not release them to us because it was Brandy's case. So they wouldn't release any of that. But after the fact that this had happened, they did do their job and remove the other two children from the home and then found out when they removed the two children from the home, Kiana was suffering from severe malnutrition and so was Skylar.
Okay. Now, have you all been able to get an attorney to subpoena that information? Because see, the center, from my perspective of listening to the story and reading of it over the past several hours, is that there should be records and history of what the child's immediate care that was already taking place. All of that.
Yeah, Lydia.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. The only documentation that Lydia had was calling on phone records every single day trying to get this child help. That is documented. She called every day that that child was in her care.
Okay. Okay, that's good. But the fact that there are real documented records of her, of Daisy's real mother and the care that she has been given to the rest of the children that exist, that should be brought into the case. Whoever the attorney was, all of that information, because it weighs on the credibility of Lydia.
The attorney didn't do their job.
Information that can be used, but nobody uses it. Nobody secures it.
Exactly.
Okay, now
her attorney
now
did not do their job.
Want to get that information.
Sir?
Is anybody working now to get that information to bear on Lydia's case?
We've turned it over to the defenders so that we could get everything that we need to get Lydia free because she didn't do it.
Okay, all of that information is now. Go ahead.
And we do have copies of that, Brother Howard.
You have copies of that information now?
Yes, yes. We do have copies of that paperwork, and we are working with two other projects, Innocent Project and the Justice League, along with NAB. We have one staff attorney that's looking at the case right now and reviewing it, and we will have a final analysis. They're taking the time looking at it. He told me that he should have something for the family no later than February the 1st for a review to get back in court about February the 1st. We have the review report from the attorney and another interview, conference interview, that the staff attorney will have with Miss Lydia at the prison in February as well. I believe it's the last of February, the fourth weekend of February.
Okay, that's good. That's absolutely excellent. Okay, one other question to Miss Berry and her father and her sister. I believe you say
her mother.
And her mother. Okay. The father of the children, for your sister, what about him? Is there any information, documentation on him and his presence? Was he just vacant from the whole situation?
Okay, sir. I like to add this.
Okay.
Both of them was highly on drugs. They did a lot of drugs at the time, and the home was very deranged. The children were basically out there on their own, a lot of times by themselves. but this I like to add is that her mother and which is my son, at the time he was in jail. For whatever reason, I don't know, he stayed in jail all the time. A lot of times he wasn't in the home. And when he was abusive. So like Marlena said, a lot of this took place because the house was a very improper home. So it resulted in the children being relieved from the home. Matter of fact, when Beja had passed away, I think we had to go to court down in Litchfield for something. It might have been because of the other two children. I'm not too sure. It's been so long ago. But however, the other two children was in a foster home. They gotten them to be in a foster home. And I think during the time of Beja's funeral or whatever, I think they had been released and back into the care of their mother, if I'm not mistaken. But they were in a foster home. And like I said, the house was very deranged. Actually, all truth is one of the things was worse than what it is because they were basically trying to vibe on their own. A lot of times they didn't have food because he would break in and take the money and get drugs and stuff with it. And on the other hand, flip side, she was on drugs too. It was just a deranged home. So that's I want to add that to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I've witnessed her pulling Skylar out of the vehicle and
whooping him. And so I've witnessed her, like, physically abusing the children.
The mother herself.
Just doing simple stuff. Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Go ahead.
And their father, he has a record. The father of the children, he has a record for domestic violence and abuse.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. How is your health? I see you coughing. Are you doing okay there? At what institution are you incarcerated at?
CMCF.
Beg your pardon?
CMCF, Central Mississippi Correctional Facility.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. I'm going to open the floor up. I'm going to open the floor up for family members and anybody else that want to talk. On the Dr. McCorver has gave you a progress report as to what is taking place now with the case and the documentation that you all have procured or that's in the hands of Dr. McCorvey and his team. Is there anybody else on the state level or working on the case so far as to getting Lydia justice?
Lydia had an attorney, but I think she got disbarred. I don't remember what her name was. I'm actually Marlena.
Wanda Abioto.
Yeah.
What's her name now?
Repeat that again.
Wanda Abioto.
Wanda.
Okay. Make sure Dr. McCarvey has that information because, see, the fact that Lydia had is this the attorney that she had when she was getting the improper service by an attorney?
No.
Richard Burdine.
Okay. Yeah. That's
you have 1 minute remaining.
Okay, Lydia, if you can call back in or if you want to finish this time out, or you can. Go ahead.
I'm going to call right back.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. All right. What I'm getting at.
Thank you for using Global Telink.
What I'm getting at while Lydia is calling back in is this. All right. At the time of her case, that attorney should be scrutinized and documented as to her failure as an attorney and her whatever her problems were that she didn't rightfully defend me. That is one of the key elements.
It was Richard Burdine.
All right. Dr. McCoy, have you got the information on him already?
Mississippi,
yes, I have it. Richard Burdine. And
to accept this call,
one
press
thing,
0. To refuse this call,
okay.
Your
okay.
Current balance is $20.96. This call is from a correction facility and is subject to monitoring and recording.
Thank you for using Global Telink.
Okay. One of the things, Brother Howard, that that I read and we're looking at and we're close scrutinizing too is Richard Burdine, because he did not follow through within the courtroom of bringing out the evidence in the case, and I was real disappointed in seeing a document that looked like he just scribbled on and pushed it through the court as though he didn't care about the case, period, you know, and definitely he needed to be brought before the bar. He needed to be barred from doing law. He needs to be scrutinized not only by NAB, but by his peers, as well as the Mississippi State Bar. Now, these are some of the things that I saw, you know, that he didn't do as an attorney. You know, he did not bring forth the facts in this case, period, like they should have been brought forth.
You know, and this is the thing right here that gets me so many times is that when you have, whether he was appointed by the court or hired, he has a job to do. He has a job to do. He owes it to the state. He owes it to who he represents to do his job.
That is absolutely true. Go ahead. I thought somebody was at the beginning. I thought somebody else was beginning to speak.
Yes, sir.
All right, go ahead.
I like to say this. Being from Indiana, there's a lot of Mississippi laws, and she was from Kentucky, a lot of Mississippi laws that we did not know and didn't understand. And a lot of things we didn't really catch on to after it was over with. For example, we didn't know that during a capital murder case that she was supposed to have two attorneys. They did not tell us that. We wasn't informed of that. Also, with Burndine, he had this lady with him and we was under influence that she was an attorney. So when the time came to come to court, she didn't show up. So later on, we found out that she wasn't even an attorney. I don't even know why she was even with it. But every time we met prior to that, she was always with it. And he addressed her as an attorney. So we was definitely under the influence that she was an attorney and that she was involved in the case. However, like I said, she was not. So that was very misleading to us, you know. That was very, very misleading to us. And it was just a messed up deal all the way around. I mean, he was not a good attorney, but we just didn't see that until it was all over with.
Okay. And now you all make sure now, in the process going forward, you make sure that, say for instance, just like you in your consultation with the supposedly attorney and there's somebody whip up that he's addressing it, y'all make sure that's documented and in the record. That see from the beginning that you all are being dished, that you are being used from the very beginning. In other words, fake attorneys. That's from him and the one he kept calling attorney that didn't show up for the time for the trial to take place. In other words, y'all were set up. Y'all were used. You see what I'm saying? Make sure that's a part of the documentation that's in there.
Yeah, and then they didn't even find Lydia. The judge sentenced her, basically, because the jury couldn't decide what to sentence Lydia, so the judge sentenced her in this capital murder case.
Wow.
I have a question right there, Brother Howard.
Yeah.
Because this is the first for me, and I've been doing this for a long time. This is the first. And I never heard of a judge in a capital case taking it upon himself to do this. This is my first.
Without the completion of a jury trial. Yeah, go ahead.
This is the first, and I don't feel that I think that judge needs to be suspended as well. I'm going to be honest with you. Once I think about it, the more I think about it, that judge needs to be brought before a counsel as well. Because he was out of order, out of place, and he had no business taking this matter into his own hands.
I have never heard of that myself. I'm going to go online after I'm through here, and in all of my reading of law books and stuff here at working at Holman there in Atmo, I have never heard of that either. Usually a case is brought to fruition, completed by jury, and then it's, the process works, and then the judge finally makes a sentence. Just like we're watching the Marbury case, it follows that process. All cases follow that process. I've never heard of a judge just arbitrary short-circuiting all of that. And if the jury couldn't reach a verdict, that's a hung jury. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly. That's what we all thought.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's key stuff right there. Go ahead.
Exactly.
But the thing is, that when she, the day that she was sentenced, we had the Caucasian people was on one side and the black people was on the other side, and the Caucasian people were so upset. You could see how upset they was. Even the jurors was upset because they wanted her to have the death sentence. That's what they wanted. Mm-hmm. And they was trying to death to kill my child. That's what they tried to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so since they couldn't come up with the conclusion of the thing, then the judge decided what to do with her. And that's the sentence he gave her, life without possibility of parole. That's what he gave her.
And he was simply trying to appease what appeared and what was actually happening, a racial mm-hmm. situation in the court.
Oh, it was a racial situation. Because I was in the back office where the state had called me, and they wanted me to testify. But then when I told them what all had happened, they said, we can't put you on the stand because you're going to mess up our case. And then I heard in the hall before they even come to talk to me, talking about, we got her now, boys. We got her.
Wow.
So
wow.
It was a nightmare case.
I believe it.
Okay. Go ahead, Dr. McCord. Whoever,
I want to say this right here to the family and to the friends of the family right now. At this particular time, from hearing these testimonials today, we have enough to get her back in court and to get this case overturned from just hearing the testimonials today. Want to do other investigatory homework. We want to do more interviewing, and there will be other interviews to come following this, and there will be other reports to come following this, not only from now, but from the state of Mississippi, because I'm going to get them to redress this whole issue and to redress their fatality of doing their job. That's where I'm at right now with this. They did not do their job. They did not follow through with the case. And all they wanted was a guilty verdict.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, because
right.
It was election year. It was election year. That's why they wanted a guilty verdict.
Mm-hmm.
So
I like to add this too, sir. This may not have a bearing on the case, but I would like to add this. You know, a lot of black people in the community, I literally heard them say that, well, she's not going to get a fair trial, you know. And not only did I hear them say it, I know when they was picking the jurors, I heard a couple of white people say, "Man, if she killed a white child, she's not going to get a fair trial." So this particular person, he wasn't interested in being a partaker of it. This is just talk that I heard. I just want to present that. Like I said, that probably has no bearing on the case whatsoever, but it was most definitely no doubt about it. It was a prejudice situation.
Yeah.
I mean, and it was showed on every side.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
I would also like to add to that even when they had came to the trailer, they was like, oh, well, she said that she's biracial, but she appears to be a Caucasian child.
Well, at the time in court, it was balled up, so. At this time, I think Bernadine brought it up. And he said, did y'all know that it was a black child instead of a Caucasian child? And, of course, they didn't. They actually thought that it was a white child. And mm-hmm. that had a bearing on the case. I mean, there was no doubt about it. There was a lot of prejudice involved.
It was a lot of underhanded things. And also, they were the attorney at the time, Richard Bernadine, was supposed to have told us that they come up with a plea deal. He did not tell us that they had a plea deal even on the table, period.
Mm-mm, he didn't tell it.
That was crazy. I mean, you know, looking at the facts of the case and being analytical investigator, I see that this case has a lot of twists and turns in it, dealing with racism, dealing with somewhat negligence and a lot of other facts that's involved in this case. I don't understand why the state did not move to have a even the case moved from that location because of the rhetoric and everything that was going on the outside of the case. It should have been a change of venue. You know, I should have been in that town. I go back to that.
And then another thing, they gave Lydia life, but they gave her husband 4 years.
Wow.
And he was 12 years older than her.
Mm.
13 years older than her. Yeah, you know, even when stuff was going on with her, I would ask him, okay, well, what do we need to do? I'm barely 18. I didn't know what to do. So I would say, well, what do we need to do? And he would say, well, I told you not to bring her down here anyway.
So he's 30 years old. That's your husband. And you were 18. That's it. Yeah. Now, Dr. McCoy, Chickasaw County, they're in Mississippi, right? Do a synopsis of Chickasaw County and its cases, and what it appears from what we are saying here, what we are hearing here, that the foundation was already laid by the comments of what was heard from the gentleman and some of the people there in the town, that it was already laid that this was going to be, as you say, a nightmare case, and no justice was going to be coming to Lydia, and that the railroad was set to send her straight to where she is. And it was a political game then. Can you, Dr. McCorvey, in your efforts at the National Association of Black Defenders, begin to dig into Chickasaw County Circuit Court and the case where the case was heard and the trial here? Well, really not a trial because you said they got interrupted because they couldn't come to the decision and the judge just took over. Can you begin to tunnel into that information and bring that forward as well?
Absolutely, brother Howard. I believe one of the things that, like I say, when we do our internal investigation, one of the things that will be brought out in this case is will be Chickasaw County itself, that the way they handle cases when it comes to black and white, the way they handle this situation right here, you know, in all fairness, unfairness. How they played it out with the court system having a judge-only, quote-unquote, situation going on, which is so illegal within the jurisprudence of the law until this whole case should have been thrown out.
And not only that, the guy that done the investigation or the, quote-unquote, what is that, where they go into – they check out the child
forensic, the autopsy.
Yeah.
Right, from forensic science,
Yeah, he wasn't even authorized to do that. So he was disbarred.
Oh, he was okay. That's a starting point right there. If he was disbarred, we have enough right now, Brother Howard, county.
Hold on, Dr. McCoy. When he went to do the forensic and to get the information on the child's condition and stuff like that, he was not even qualified to do that?
Nope.
Oh.
So, I mean, it was a nightmare case from the beginning all the way to the end. Like he said, he had like two or three jobs. I think he was supposed to be like a sheriff and then an autopsy person and hospital aid and all kinds of stuff. It was one of them kinds.
Coroner, all that stuff.
Coroner, yeah, he was supposed to do all that. He wasn't qualified to do any of it. And it's on record, so you can pull up a newspaper article on him.
Dr. McCorvey,
yes, sir.
I'm going to be digging and you continue to dig. And y'all in the family, if you've got the newspaper article,
yes,
you've got all that stuff, bring all of that forward. Even though the case was in September of in 2005, the truth never dies.
Yep.
A
right.
lot
right.
can be perpetuated forever. But the truth, it just lays that dormant ready to come forward, to bring
mm-hmm.
the light of truth into a situation. All you got, get it, bring it, put it in Dr. McCoy's hand, and I don't know how you all are set financially.
Not real well.
I don't know what Dr. McCoy's the organization is. I'm part of the board, and we got a board meeting tonight. But find some money somewhere and get a real attorney.
Mm-hmm.
That's for all of us. From my perspective as a radio person, for Dr. McCoy, the CEO, and you are the family, get a real attorney. Because this is just an explosive garbage here that's coming forward.
Mm-hmm.
We have taken the case, Brother Howard, but we're gonna need at least 4 or 5 attorneys on this case for investigations.
Mm-hmm.
Right, yeah. That all got to be, even though anything dealing with it, it's got to be brought forward and dug up and brought the light of truth to it.
So.
Dr. McCoy, you have had the opportunity
yes,
to read the Court of Appeals of Mississippi, the Lydia versus the appellant of the state of Mississippi. You did this. You read that already.
Yes, I did. And that was shambles, too. That was just because the state ignored the facts of the case, and the state did not pursue to the appeal of court
yeah,
the
yeah,
evidence
okay.
in the case. Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So this is what we're going to do. What as an organization and as an individual, we're going to campaign around the family, and we're going to do our petition for the freedom for Lydia, and we're also going to within this petition, which I should have to you today, Brother Howard, for your review. Within this petition, we're demanding. A fair trial within this petition, and for her freedom. That's where
yep.
we're at right now. Myself and 2 of our staff attorneys will be investigating the case further, but we're trying to pull together a team effort of attorneys that we can really dive into this, because I know it's going to be some mishaps. I want to say this to the family as well. Chickasaw County, Mississippi.
You have 1 minute.
We're
going
to have to turn that town upside down.
Yep.
Okay, yep. That county upside down before it's over with. And we're going to,
mm-hmm.
we can't leave a rock unturned.
Nope.
Okay, before,
from Kentucky
Lydia,
to Mississippi.
In a minute. Lydia, can you afford to do another call? Are you satisfied at this point as to where we are?
Yeah, I'm going to call y'all right back. And,
okay, all right.
Then.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, Lydia.
What'd he say?
Go ahead,
okay.
Dr. McCoy.
Let me call y'all real quick.
Okay. So,
thank
so
you for using Global Telling.
We cannot leave a rock unturned in this case, and because this young lady has been falsely tried and convicted by a township, I want to call it, that's didn't have the facts, did not have the teetotal case itself in their hands, and they played with this as though it was something to play with, you know, and this was is a person's life at stake. And they did not get clearance. The state did not clear records, as I was studying this case, of Lydia, because of the simple fact it was so many hidden agendas and things that were not on the record. For this
CDSB,
case.
Central Mississippi Correctional Facility.
To accept this call, press 0. To refuse it, your
right.
current balance is $19.91. This call is from a correction facility and is subject to monitoring and recording.
Thank you for using Global Telling.
Thank you, Lydia.
Go ahead, Dr. McCormick.
So, in essence of what we're saying this morning, family of Lydia, we have to get to the bottom of it. And the only way we're going to get to the bottom of it is that we cannot leave not one rock unturned. I talked to Equal Justice and also to Innocent Project this past week, who is going to be on the battlefield with us in this case, Brother Howard. I'm having to turn documents from my office over to them. We're comparing notes right now. We're going through this case with a fine-tooth comb. There's a lot that did not take place that will take place when we get the appeal of the next appellate process, post-conviction process on the way. We're taking our time going through everything. And so when we get ready to present to the public, present to the back to the courts, everything will be in order because this case here was totally out of order. Nothing in this case was right. Nothing was written up right by the coroner, so-called coroner. Nothing was done right by the forensic department. Nothing was stamped right. I looked over the case. I see what so many mistakes were made by the court from the judge on down. So we have to go in here full force, uncover everything that has gone wrong in Lydia's case.
Okay, I want to say this to the family. I do want everybody that's on the call to speak and voice your input into this is what is about to take place and what we're about to embark on. But I want to say this. I don't have the money personally. I don't know about any of you having the money personally to do it, but number one, we got to find the money for support and attorneys for this case because the Equal Justice Initiative there in Montgomery, Mr. Stevenson there, I don't know what their situation is and so forth as this case is. I know they have priorities, but Dr. McCord is going to be dealing from that perspective with them. I got another caller coming on the line. Hold on just a second. Okay, 927-8214. You're free to speak. We are talking about Lydia Berry case of being convicted of capital murder of her 2-year-old niece. And we're talking about the story and case today. And the National Association of Black Defenders is at the center of this. And I'm Freddie C. Howard, the host of Block Talk Radio here in Alabama. You're free to speak if you would like to speak.
Well, I really more just wanted to listen.
Okay.
See what was going on.
Okay. Are you familiar with the case or know about the case or anything at all?
No, I don't know anything about the case really.
Okay. Would you like to identify yourself or you just like to stay anonymous?
I just want to be anonymous and just listen.
Okay, then. All right. All right. All right. Thank you. All right. Here's another thing, family. Okay. Since the mother of the child is part of the family as well, right? What is the situation now in regards to the mother of the child? What is taking place now? If anybody want to talk about that, what's taking place now?
We don't know. We don't associate with her. We do not know.
I have a good idea because I live in Indianapolis and they live in Lafayette, Indiana. At the present time, him and my son and her is divorced. I think they've been divorced for quite a few years now. He's remarried. He lives there in Kentucky, in the eastern part of Kentucky. As far as she goes and the kids, they still deranged. the young boy, he's in prison, I think he is. Pardon?
I said, you said as far as her and the kids, what now?
As far as her and her kids, of course, they grown up. They have grown up now. And the boy, he's in prison. He's been in trouble practically ever since, I'd say, for the last 10, 11 years. But he's either in prison or on his way back to prison. She herself, she's not, I don't think she's remarried. But the other girls, they just, one of them's doing pretty good for herself. I think they still like on the wild side, though, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically the general idea that I know that I have knowledge of, you know. I don't really associate them with them that much, but every once in a while I do hear something about them. And I know one of the daughters about four years ago, she was living down here, and she was pretty reckless, but I tried to get a relationship with her, and she lived with me for about a couple of months. Then she went back to Lafayette.
So nobody knows what's taking place with the real mother now, what her situation is.
No, not actually.
Dr. McCorvey, please put that in the quiver, because everything is important. If her lifestyle has not changed from the initial where Lydia and her husband went up to get the child, and if she's still in that lane, that need to be known by the court.
I agree.
Because see what has happened. The entire circle of circumstances here all led to conviction of Lydia and Barry and her permanent incarceration and her life without the possibility of parole. Everybody stay on the line. We got a total of 8 minutes left on the hour live streaming time. I should have said it 2 hours. Since we're all still on the line, we are still being recorded and documented for the a total 2 hour broadcast. So we will be going into recording mode in 7 minutes and 37 seconds. So everybody stay on the line that can stay on the line.
Yeah, I'm at work, so I'm going to have to get off the line.
Okay then. All right. Please identify yourself again for my record.
Marlena. Yeah, Marlena Hutchinson.
Okay. Are you the one that sent me the initial information?
Yeah.
Oh, and I whenever you get a copy of this broadcast, I'll send it to you by email. You'll see that I use your entire synopsis of what was taking place, and I built the story from your information. I do appreciate that.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Okay. And thank you for coming on and taking the time. We're going to need prayer and money.
Yes, we.
I put it in that order. God first. And
yes, Lord.
God has all the cattle on a thousand hills. But anyway, anybody else? We still got 6 minutes of live streaming time. Anybody else before we go into record mode?
Brother Howard, I want to thank you for bringing this forward for us. Go ahead, sorry.
I'd like to say I appreciate Dr. Corvey, and I appreciate you, and I appreciate y'all's help. I appreciate what you're doing to help us, and most of all, I like to say I appreciate you being godly people. God bless.
Yes. Amen. Thank you for helping me out and helping fight for my freedom. I appreciate it so much. Thank you.
All right. And then, Lydia, you got folks that are helping you out because you've been able to pay for a $120 phone call in just less than an hour. That right there, that is so atrocious of what this America is doing to prisoners that are incarcerated. Got systems set up so that just three phone calls, $60 a call, $20 each time that you've been, $60. I make a mistake there because you called in three times. Here this call has cost you $60 to talk to us. And I do appreciate that, and family members that are listening, use your resources, Dr. McCorvey, whatever, to get something to Lydia. I don't know how Lydia is doing financially with money on the books. That needs to be brought to bear as well and kept in force so that she can reach out when she can, when she needs to reach out.
Absolutely, absolutely. I do want to say that her family is a very supportive family, the ones that we have with us right now and ones that's out there. They're very supportive of Lydia. We want them to continue to support because the fight has just begun. We only uncovered a small rock. We got a mountain to uncover, but by faith, a mountain can be moved. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
I believe
Amen.
By faith, a mountain can be moved. Amen. So we walk by faith and not by sight, and we put God always first in our organization, the things that we do, and we believe that through the power of God that this mountain too will be moved. Faith without works is dead. We all know that. Mm-hmm. Faith without works is dead. So the good book says, show me your faith and I'll show you my works. In this case here, our financials, our time, our efforts, and everything that we can put inside this pot and stir it up in our faith, with our faith, is what's going to make freedom accessible to Miss Lydia. Because even talking to our staff attorneys that work with us and also Equal Justice Initiative, it costs. We've been working with the bare minimum. We always work as an organization. Once you become a member of the organization, and we take in memberships all the time through our leadership, we work with you in trying to set the captive free, per se, by the grace of God, and we work with the family and try to make sure that the goal that we set for the family, whether it's a legal goal of making sure that everything is being done in a legal way, from our staff attorneys that we work with to Equal Justice Initiative to the Innocent Project that we're with us now, Interrogating Justice's own team on board with us now. These attorneys, and including myself, we don't work for free, you know, and everything costs, you know. And that's what Brother Howard was saying, you know. Yes, her freedom is most important. There's paperwork that got to be filed. There's documents that got to be going through. There's research. There's investigations that got to be done. Mm-hmm. We got to uncover old rocks, per se, in this case. We got to contact the Chickasaw County. Will know us, but they won't know us. They won't even know where I'm coming through. So, but that rock will be unturned. You know, the DA office in Chickasaw County will know that we've been there. They're not even going to know when we're coming, but that rock will be unturned. So we're going to be on it day and night until we get some justice in this case. Brother Howard.
Okay. All right. There is less than a minute. We're coming up on 90 seconds. They're going to give us that call in a minute, 90 seconds. So if we do not have anything else to add in the extra hour, everybody heard that cue of 90 seconds, we can end the call here now. But if there's somebody that needs to add something to the discussion prior to this, you can do so. I'm finna go now and send this information to the young lady that sent me the information for me to produce the show. Y'all go ahead if you need to. The lines are still open. I'm still hearing everything, but I'm just going to be doing something.
Lydia?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
All right. I want you to be here with us, and as we go to our closing of our show today, we want to encourage you to continue to be a faithful servant and be faithful toward the things of God and the things that's before us right now. I want to thank my board of the National Association of Black Defenders for allowing me to come forward as their leader this year and to present economic and social justice to the public and to your family. Anything that during this process, many times the family will be called on during this process, for different things that need to be done in this process. And we're working for a common goal, and that's your freedom, Lydia. That's your freedom.
Yes, thank you so much.
much. Thank you so much.
Yes.
I feel like I can see the light a little bit.
Awesome. Awesome. Not a problem. Are there any other family members before we go off that would like to have a few words to say at this particular time?
No, I haven't.
Okay. All right. And I'm going to get ready to close. I know we at the, what do you call, the last minute of the program. But our number, our information one more time for the radio listeners is National Association of Black Defenders. Defending human rights and social justice all across America. You can reach us in D.C. at 1701 Pennsylvania Avenue, Northwest, Suite 300, Washington, D.C., 20130. Our phone number is 202-993-8516. Again, that's 202-993-8516. The National Association of Black Defenders. You can call me directly, 561-581-1545. That's the National Association of Black Defenders. We're here standing on the truth and believing on the promise of Jesus Christ that freedom is for all men and women. Again, freedom is for all men and women. Let freedom ring from mountainside to mountainside. Let freedom ring in our jails, our prisons, for those that have been wrongly convicted. We thank God for this occasion to come. Father God, we thank you right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for your loving kindness. We thank you for your goodness. Lord, continue to walk by, be by, and stand by Miss Lydia, Lord Jesus. Lord, be with the family, Lord Jesus, as they go through. For we understand that you have all power in your hand. And, Lord, that you will defend. You will be able to defend the force, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for that. Lord God, as we go off there, Lord, but never leaving your sight, never leaving your presence, God, ever before you. Ever before the throne of God, believing God for all things. Amen. Lord, we trust you in this case. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
God bless you, family.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
God bless you. And you all can call us anytime. I believe you all have our numbers. And feel free to call us. You know, our line is always open. I will be getting, if you all need to call me after the show, you're free to call me after the show, say, Mr. McCorvey, this is what we're going to do, this is how we're going to move forward, we want to thank you, whatever the case may be. We're ready to move forward now. Are there any other remarks? Brother Howard.
Okay, look, all of you guys that were on the call, family members, my email address is freddychoward@gmail.com. FreddyCHoward@gmail.com.
Awesome.
I am a small radio station in Alabama, an internet radio with nearly 200,000 listeners worldwide. That's small. That's really small. But we are going to be like a tick. We're going to hang in there and do the best we can to get this information out to the world. What's going out first is the broadcast that we just finishing up now. I have all of you all's telephone numbers documented, but I do need your email address. That's for communication purposes.
And you have 1 minute remaining.
Okay, Lydia, do you need to say anything else before we go off? I'm sorry if we took up the time that you maybe want to say something. Go ahead.
I would just like to thank y'all again. I thank you and appreciate y'all fighting for my freedom. It's long overdue, and I just thank you, and God bless y'all.
God bless you as well. And keep the faith. Faith is the key.
I will.
Never give up. Never give up.
I will.
All right. All right. Thank you, and be safe.
Thank
All right.
You.
As I was saying... Okay, we are, this right here is to be disseminated, Dr. McCorvey. When it gets to you,
yes.
share it. I will put it on Facebook. I will put it on Mixcloud. I will put it everywhere that I am. I have a media platform. And one other thing, ask the main guy that
Thank you for using Global Telling.
Ask the guy that handles the National Association of Black Defenders website. This broadcast right here needs to be added to those three broadcasts that are already on there. I didn't get a chance to go back and listen to Ed's program, but I did go back and listen to Dr. Howard. I did go back and listen to mine and your interview. But I'm going to send it to you, Dr. McCorvey, the case, this
okay.
broadcast number, and tell him to add this case, because that right there is worldwide attention coming directly from the National Association of Black Teachers. I'm going to send it to you and to a contact. It's in the form of a contact, and you can share it.
Okay.
All right.
Sounds good. Yes, sir.
Okay. And if you don't mind, close us with prayer if there is no more to be added by any of the callers on the line.
Okay. Let us pray out the program this morning. Father God, we come this morning thanking you for your humble submission, Jesus. Thanking you for your loving kindness. Father God, we thank you, Lord, that we were able to put this broadcast out for Ms. Lydia Berry. Father God, that it will go out, Lord, and the family and friends and loved ones in this country will be touched from the testimonials that we heard. Father God, we press heaven right now, Lord, asking you for guidance in this situation. Asking you, Lord, to shine a light in this dark situation, Lord, because we know, Lord, that you have the power. You have the power in this situation, Lord, to set her free right now in the name of Jesus. Father God, we believe in your word. We trust your word. We trust everything that's godly, Lord. We trust you, Jesus. But, Lord, we see, Lord, that your light is shining around about her and that you're not going to leave her in a dark situation. Lord, your light is going to shine. Even when the courts say no, Lord, you'll say yes and you'll open the door for her. Father God, we trust in you right now, Lord, for freedom for this young lady. Father God, we put it before the altar, Lord Jesus. Father God, we pray for the family, Lord. Give them strength. Give them, encourage their hearts. Let them know, Lord, that it says she's never alone. The Lord you were for always, even to the end of the world. Father God, we thank you for being with her, Lord Jesus. We thank you for the broadcast of the National Association of Black Defenders. Lord, you go with us and take care of us. Keep us. Bless Brother Howard and my way, Lord, for his instrumentalism and taking care of these matters, Lord Jesus. Lord, bless us and go with us. In Jesus' name, thank you for this broadcast. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
Yeah. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. God bless you all. You all have a wonderful week, and you will be hearing from the defenders very shortly, okay?
Okay.
Okay. All right.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. God bless.
God bless.
God bless.